spiked out. I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from.
You know, Evan's got to have one of the best lead-in bump songs, Matt Hamilton.
It's pretty good.
I'm Jim Rutledge. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube page. Primetime will shine behind the glass. We are presented by Coors Light, and we are thrilled to be joined by Evan Cohn. And Evan, as we went to break, we played your clip from, I believe you're filling in for Greeny, the ESPN Radio Twitter account put it out. You talked about Steve Wexler from Good Karma Brands sharing the story about Uke. And you with being mischievous and in a good way. And I wanted to know if you had any more, because you're obviously UW Madison alum.
There you
and,
go.
And Evan's had time in Wisconsin. Like, any memories for you for Bob Uecker?
Yeah, so I actually I followed up after that when I was talking to Wex earlier today. And for those who are unaware, as you mentioned, Wex, Steve Wexler is a teammate of ours, and he's been a radio executive and on-air personality in the state of Wisconsin forever. You know, big-time executive type, and you know, was part of the team that, you know, when they got the Brewers radio network, and he was a part of all the business side of it, right? Mm-hmm. And he told me a story today about how I have to say this delicately here. Let me think how I'm going to do this. Okay, so basically, Uecker found a way in an inning of broadcasting to slip in terms that no one realized with the theme for the entire inning of broadcast, right? So when he's saying mischievous in a good way, it was nothing inappropriate in any way, shape, or form. It was just he was telling me, like, I'll just make this up, and this is not what it is, but, like, let's just say, for argument's sake, everything had to do with cheese, right? So, like, it would be, like, you know, a sharp, like, whatever. He would just find ways of swissing through, and he would just find these ways of doing this. It's horrible the way I'm doing this, but, like, you get the point. Like, yeah. He would just find these, like, funny ways of doing this in broadcast where nobody would actually notice. And Wex would be in the booth with him, and he would be doing this, and Wex would be dying of laughter because Uecker would find a way to, like, theme an inning, you know, and nobody would notice. Like, I don't know if you remember this 100 years ago, Jim. So when I started in television in West Palm Beach, Florida in 2009 or 10, and it was when Jersey Shore was huge.
Yeah.
And I found a way to make work in a million Jersey Shore references into my sportscast in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I guess, unbeknownst to anyone, Bob Uecker used to do this all the time. Before all these things go viral now, Uecker used to do this.
Well, you know, and honestly, to that point, I mean, and it just kind of looking in, and I knew some of these things about Uecker. The one silver lining today was that, what, Norm MacDonald and Artie Lang found him the funniest person alive, and there's great stories on Howard Stern's show and David Letterman where they're telling stories. I did not know that Uecker apparently swore like a sailor. He was on Johnny Carson 100 times, and so, and then obviously Major League, Mr. Belvedere. He was in, we've looked at his IMDb, a lot of cartoon shows as well. I mean, his reach, again, kind of that influencer.
Homeward Bound 2.
Like, he was before his time, and the idea that he was everywhere before, now everyone's everywhere because of social media.
Wait, so go back to this thing. I didn't realize this. He was on Carson how many times?
100 times. 100 plus. We've had that, yeah.
That is insane.
Yes.
Like, for the younger audience listening to your show, I think, and this Carson's even a little bit before our time in terms of the prime of Carson, obviously. But people have to understand, anyone in the comedy, music, television, movie industry did anything they can to be on Carson. Like, I believe the success of Christopher Mad Dog Russo nationally, who we see on First Take and does, you know, it's on radio forever.
Hang out with Timmy Chalamet.
Yeah. hanging out with Chalamet.
Yeah.
Actually started because David Letterman loved him. And he went on Letterman 30 or 40 times. And the reason I bring that up is the touch and the endorsement of the late night host is unbelievably powerful. And Dog would talk about, anytime I'm around him, you know, when I bring up Letterman 30 or 40 times and how big of a deal that is, over, you know, the course of 20, 30 years, whatever it is. Uecker being on with Carson 100 times is mind-boggling because they spread out these guests on those shows. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different than what we do if, like, I'm on with you guys every other week or Wildy's on or Tausch, whatever it may be. Like, we try to do that regularly. The late-night shows have always been different. I'm rambling, Jim and Matt, because I'm blown away that he was on 100 times.
No, it says 100 or so, but, I mean, so it might be more, might be a little bit less, but 100 or so is
whatever,
how it's worded. Yes,
roughly 100.
Yes. He hosted SNL. I mean, what broadcaster is hosting SNL? I mean, he was...
Well, I also think, like, remember a couple of weeks ago when we joked if Matt was late again or didn't show up, he'd have to do an hour solo, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of Matt. I'm bringing this up for a reason. Matt is an Olympic athlete. And Matt, to your credit, you're doing this as kind of the second career. And a lot of times when somebody does that, I mean, you're making it into your primary career, but you get what I'm saying, chronologically, second career. So a lot of times when the ex-athlete gets into broadcasting, their role is usually the analyst role. Like in sports terms, you're playing wide receiver, you're playing shooting guard. Not better nor worse than the point guard or quarterback, just a different role. Uecker was the point guard or quarterback. He was the play-by-play guy, and he's an ex-player. That doesn't happen.
No.
Like, think about it. Think about if Tausch was doing play-by-play, I mean, which would be terrible, and LePay was the analyst for Badger football. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's not easy to do.
No.
And Uecker, I think, Jim and Matt, there's probably so many people in your audience that didn't even realize he played.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
And won a World Series.
Yeah, that was with the Cardinals, right?
Yes. He's a World Series champ.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm sorry. I wasn't diminishing that. I'm saying it wasn't with the Brewers.
Right.
Get my point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evan, so as Jim alluded to, UW-Madison alum, what did you like go to games? Like, where's that core memory of Uecker lay with you for your time in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Okay, so I wasn't going a ton of Brewers games at all. I haven't been to many in my life. The memory for me, two memories. One, I was in Milwaukee right when I graduated covering hockey. There was some hockey event and for the UW-Madison hockey team in Milwaukee, and I was covering it for the Capital Times. Actually, Adam Mertz, our teammate, obviously, the Wisconsin College Game Day, was the one who hired me. And I remember, you know, they put me up in a hotel, and I remember getting out of the elevator. I'm like, holy crap, that's Uecker. And he was in this hotel. It must have been, like, right next to wherever they were playing, and he was, like, getting something to eat or something with a couple of his friends, and he was wearing this leather jacket. And I saw him, and I was a little bit starstruck of, like, oh, my God, this guy's a celebrity. And the other thing that I think about with him, and I don't mean this in a negative way. This is not what I mean. But he almost has immunity. He had immunity of, like, okay, that's what everybody else is supposed to do. He doesn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, think about how kind Matt LePay is with his time doing interviews, right, as the voice of the Badgers, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, Dave Kane, the voice of the Bucks, right? Like, these guys are and gals are doing things, you know, involved in, like, interviews, appearances, whatever else. Uecker, it's not that he wouldn't do it. It's he was, like, so famous. It's so big time that it's almost like, oh, yeah, do a couple of them a year. But, like, you can't get Uecker. He was that level of fame from what I remember. And again, in an envious sort of way, he was never like everybody else because he was just bigger than everything. He was bigger than the Brewers.
He was. And it's a sad day, but it's also like, wow, what a life. He basically got to be with his favorite and hometown team basically his entire adult life outside of a little bit there. But then also, and this isn't a knock against current broadcasters, but it's hard for me to think of anyone who does it now. And you know, Harry Carey is one that went it, and Uecker, where their personality is so much for the broadcast. Because I think, what, broadcast school and all these things kind of teach some of that out of you.
Joe Buck.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, it's getting rarer and rarer, so Uecker is... and was someone that
yeah. So what he special. Did, what you're saying, Jim, and I think it's a good point. It's tougher to be a talk show host doing play by play today than maybe ever before is what you're saying.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe that's
yes.
But like his personality was bigger than the actual broadcast.
Yeah.
And not that he ever missed plays, but if he missed plays, you wouldn't care because the stories would be better than the plays that he's calling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and that's I kind of think what Jim's getting at is like Joe Buck. As much as I like to be like, oh, he hates the Packers. I know every fan does that. He doesn't like you. Don't get the same vibe for their personality the way you would with Bob Uecker. Like you almost felt like you knew Bob Uecker because of the way he called games, and it was so. I was telling a story. I listened to the 2008 home run, Prince Fielder again in the NLDS versus the Phillies. They were down 2-1 in the series, and they were down 5-0 at the time. It was like the seventh inning, and he called that home run. And even though I knew the game was over, like the way he called it gave me hope. And he felt like a guy who also believed that it was going to happen. And just that personality, I feel, is a little bit lost right now. I could be wrong because, like Jim said, yeah, I don't know everybody.
I think it's more present in many ways in baseball. I mean, there's so many great sports on the radio, and obviously I am biased as a radio guy, but I think that there has always been a connection with baseball on the radio specifically because of, you know, the summer, the companionship, the soundtrack of the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, you do play out just kind of like sitting outside listening to the radio and listening to a baseball game. And Uecker obviously could entertain you all night doing that. I mean, I remember growing up in New York, the Mets are my favorite baseball team. And Bob Murphy, who also, you know, passed away a long time ago at this point, was the voice of the Mets. And I went to camp in New Hampshire over the summer. Okay. And there at that time, there were no apps. There was no internet. I'm old. And I literally would go to sleep at night, flipping around a Walkman with headphones on, trying my best through static to listen to Bob Murphy called Mets games. And I know right now, us, the three of us, speaking to the audience in Madison, that moment that I just presented takes so many people back in the day of listening to Brewers games over the summer on WTMJ and now ESPN Madison, and listening to the games and just like hearing Uecker as the companion over the summer, right? And yes, there's just something to that. And it's not, I'm not suggesting listening to LePay call basketball and football or John Adias calling the volleyball or anything like that. I'm just suggesting that baseball historically has been best on radio.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And, one last thing, and I did have one Packer question for you, but with Uecker, I think what made him so great, and he talked about it, is that he truly loved baseball, loved doing his job, loved the players loved him. Like, everything about him, and you came across listening, was just pure joy at the opportunity that he had, and that, to me, I think was one of the most important things to why people loved him so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you hear people on the air enjoying what they're doing, in any capacity, it makes it a lot easier to listen to those people.
Yes.
Yeah.